morning, we'll continue our series on the burdened but not broken as we look at the life of David. You know, a burden is something that you carry with difficulty. That's basically a burden. And burdens often come from unlikely sources. As we'll see this morning, they can even be the result of being blessed. You know, we think of being blessed and we don't think that's a burden, but sometimes the blessing can produce a burden or burdens that we have to carry and that we have to deal with. You know, David was a man after God's heart. The Bible tells us that. That means he loved the Lord. He lived by faith. We know that he was called to be the next king of Israel. God had already made that clear at this point in his life. And David was responsible, I believe, to live correctly. That's what he was responsible to do. You see, he belonged to God, so he was to live like it. He was to be a king, so I think he was to act like a king and make the decisions that a king would make. That's responsibility. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the burden of responsibility. You know, responsibility is a burden. As we grow and as we mature, as we get older in this world, we can get more responsibilities. You become a husband or a wife, more responsibilities. You become a parent, more responsibilities. You take a job, responsibilities. You get promoted or you get another job, different responsibilities or more responsibilities. Being a Christian, there are some responsibilities to God of how we live, how we're to act, how we're to conduct ourselves in this world. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the burden of responsibility because responsibility can sometimes be burdensome. The reason why I say that is because we may be in a position or find ourselves in a situation when it's difficult to act responsibly. When it'd be easier to do what we would want or wish or desire instead of what we should do. And that's what we're going to look at with David this morning. We're going to see the burden of responsibility. And I hope and pray we're encouraged as we're going to see his response to that burden and how he was able with God's, basically looking at the Lord, he was able to carry that burden and have no problem with that. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel 24 and 1 Samuel 26 primarily this morning, 1 Samuel 24. And as you make your way over there, I'm going to begin the first point. We're going to talk about restless, David being restless. And then we're going to talk about David. After we talk about him being restless, we're going to see some reasoning that takes place. Now, when I say reason, we're going to talk about some human reasoning. And then finally, we're going to see his restraint, his ability to withhold himself from making a terrible decision. And we're going to see that was due to his responsibility. He understood how he was supposed to act, and he applied that. So, restless. You know, when we're restless, we can get ourselves into trouble. Impatient. We can become impatient. We can want to force something. We can want to make something happen. We can make some decisions that later we regret just because we were restless. We wanted to make things happen. I believe David was restless at this point in his life. He'd been kicked out of the palace. He was on the run. He was living on the fields and in caves. He knew that God had planned for him to be in the king, in the palace as king. And he may have wondered, when's this going to happen? I know that God has a plan for me, but when's it going to take place? And you know, sometimes we can become that way as well. You know, David, first off, David lost everything he had in the world. And sometimes that can cause us to become restless. I know if I lost what David lost, I probably would be restless. He lost his residence, he lost his position, and he lost his security. He's running around the countryside being chased by a king with an army. David was in a position to be restless. And the Bible tells us that he lived on the run. He dwelt in caves, he dwelt in fields, and he had to rely upon others who were in a similar position as him. You know, the Bible tells us that those that were pretty much not wanted in society were the ones that gathered around David. Those that were in a similar situation, they had been neglected or rejected in some way, and those were the men that gathered around David. And the Bible makes it clear he had to wait upon the Lord. He couldn't just run and do what he wanted to do, but he had to wait upon the Lord. Now, this is where I think the burden of responsibility can become great. You know, it's easy to do what's right when all is going well, but it's difficult when we're tested. Tempting to rely upon personal strength and reasoning. You know, we become restless and begin to think, well, let me figure this out. Now, there's nothing wrong with using our reasoning, but we must always come back to God's direction and follow the Lord. Also, we can become prone to seeking personal desires when we're restless. You know, I think David probably would like to have had a night's rest where he wasn't waking up at every sound, wondering if that was King Saul and his army. I imagine he would have enjoyed going through a day where he could have relaxed and just carried out the position that God had called him to do, and that's being king. Instead, we find him living in the run. So it's easy to seek personal desires when we're restless, and that's what we've got to be careful of. Now, David was tempted twice. 1 Samuel 24, we're going to read both these passages, and we're going to see the temptation, because the temptation in each case was real similar. And David was able to overcome them both times. The first one's 1 Samuel 24 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. Saul went in to cover his feet. David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. So here we have, here's the first temptation that David had. Here he is, the Bible tells us, in En-Gedi. He goes inside a cave with his men. Now these caves are large, from my understanding. Large caves that went deep into the mountains, and many of them are still there. And he went back there, and obviously Saul did not know he was in there. And Saul and his men are coming, and Saul chooses to rest inside this cave. It mentions a sheepcote. I believe there are probably rocks set around to where sheep would be able to stay, and the shepherds could rest in the cave if they had to. So it was probably a place that many had used. It wasn't anyone's property. It was just out there. Anyone could stay there. And so Saul went in to find some rest in there. David and his men. Could you imagine David looking, and there's Saul, defenseless, sleeping, resting. All his men are outside, probably protecting from the outside, thinking everything's fine inside. And there David is with his men. You know, it had to have been tempting for David just to end not only Saul's life, but end all the persecution that was coming his way in just a moment. He was tempted, but the Bible tells us he refrained. Now, here in a minute, we're going to talk about the temptation that was there. I just wanted to point out the first temptation. Now, notice the second one, 1 Samuel 26. It happened again. Verse 1 says, And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose, went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. Notice in verse 6, Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, say, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hands this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. The second temptation, the wilderness of Ziph. There David is with his men. Saul camps there out in the wilderness. They go to sleep. And we know later at the end of verse 12, it says, For they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. That's why David was able to sneak in and get in there, because the Lord allowed him to sleep. Made sure they stayed asleep, and they arrived inside there. And once again, we find that he was tempted to end Saul's life, but he chose not to. So twice he was tempted to take matters into his own hands. Twice he was encouraged to settle the score with King Saul. Twice he had to carry the full weight of responsibility. It was his decision. He would be the one that would be held accountable for this before God. It was his. Each time, I think we find he had several reasons to justify his sin. You know, if we're not careful, we can justify sin. We can say, well, work a way around it, find a loophole, just so we can do what we want to do. And that's what I want to talk about next, the reasons that were presented or that were there for David to justify slaying Saul, making a terrible decision. And there are five that I'm going to give to you real quick. The first one is access. David had opportunity. It seemed like this was a perfect opportunity. Both times. Both times Saul was defenseless before David. Saul was there. He could not do a thing. And both times David had an opportunity to end Saul's life. It's almost as if God had delivered Saul into David's hands. That's the access that he had right there and then. You know, some would say, that was an open door. And I've heard people say this, if God's opened a door like that, then go ahead and walk through. Now here's what we need to be careful of. We don't need to just walk through doorways simply because they're open. You see, there are some that might have looked at David and said, hey, if God did not want you to do this, then he would not have opened the door. I've heard that before. I've read that before. That if God opens doors, you just go through it. Well, here's what we need to be careful of. First, nowhere in the Bible are we told that every opportunity is sent from God. There's not that promise. Nowhere do we find that God says every time a door is open, go through it. We don't find that. Actually, I think we find the contrary. We're told to beware because the devil is about. We're told to walk circumspectly, pay attention. You know, many opportunities are temptations is what they are. The devil will put something out there, or the world may put something out there, or it just may be there because we live in a world of sin that there's a temptation there. Not because it's an open door, but because that's just what's there. You see, we need to be careful of going simply because of an opportunity. Make sure that it's according to God's will. That's what we need to do. Make sure that our conduct is according to what God would want us to do, according to His will. Now, secondly, it seemed obvious. Now, this is access. He had access there. It seemed like an opportunity, but it also seemed obvious, especially on the second occasion. Now, the first one, I imagine they probably said, hey, Saul just happened to hop in here. He made a mistake. But the second one, I imagine someone could have looked and said, David, look, two times? It's obvious. It's obvious God wants you to end his life. God allowed you to get in here. God made them remain asleep, and God has given you this wonderful opportunity to end all the problems here with King Saul. Now, from the outside looking in, immediately, that's a decision David had to come across. Basically, he had to make sure that that was God's will and not him just wanting to end Saul's life. You see, that's where the burden of responsibility came in. You see, many, and we find were Abishai, especially on that second one, he believed that the Lord provided this opportunity. He gave credit to God, said that God has brought him into your hands. And the first part, it was several of the men that said the same thing. Here's what we need to be careful of. I'm going to warn you on this. Let's be careful of assuming to know God's will. We got to be careful of this. You see, what we have is His revealed will. You have a Bible this morning. That's God's revealed will. That we know that what we find in here is what God has sent down to us that we can read. We can know it's from God. We can apply it. We can live our life according to it because this is what we call His revealed will. After that, that's all we have. When we're honest. Because everything else has come from someone else, from another source. Now, people may have good opinions and their advice may be correct, but if it's not from God's Word, we can't certainly say, well, it's God's will. We got to be careful of assuming that it's God's will. See, I think Abishai and the other men assumed that this was God's will. God had opened these doors, and so David should go ahead and strike King Saul because God had done that. In reality, that was not the case. God allowed him in there, but God didn't want him to strike King Saul. I believe God was using this as a moment to humble King Saul, give him an opportunity to get things right with him. You know, this morning, I don't know what God's thinking, and neither does anyone else. Now, there are a lot of people that are making a lot of money off speculating. And you go to the Bible bookstores, you'll find all sorts of books on knowing God's will and finding God's will. Now, we can know God's will from the Word of God, but right now, nobody knows what God is thinking. We don't know what's on His mind. We don't know what He's planning because He's God. He's the Creator. So how are we to live? I think what we need to do is read His Word. You know, the best way to know what God would want you to do in any situation is to begin right here. Read His Word. Study the Bible. Get to know what the Bible has to say. Get to know the teachings. In Psalm 119, it says here, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. You know, the Bible tells us for not just a young man, but I believe any man or any woman, if we want to have a clean life, we need to take heed to God's word. That's where it begins. Know what God expects. Read what God demands or what God requires, how we're to live for Him. Ephesians 5 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We can understand the will of the Lord, His revealed will right here. I read where one pastor said, you know, he goes, if we would just spend time trying to apply ourselves to the will that God has given us, we'd have no time to be thinking of anything else. There's so much in this Bible that we can apply and that we can learn from and we can be taught from that we would be busy with that. So this morning, let's make choices. Let's make choices based upon God's word and not opportunity. That's the first one, I think. You know, David could have made this choice based upon opportunity. It was there. So let's make sure. Now, you know, God may open up a door, and guess what? He may want you to go through it. But let's just make sure that it's God's will, that it's according to His word, not just wanting to do what we want to do. And we'll talk more about David's decision here in a minute. The second temptation, appearance. Appearance. In both cases, taking Saul's life appeared to be correct. They did. I don't think anyone would have argued with that. If David would have done it, they probably would have said, well, you know, hey, God opened the door for you. There it is. So it appeared to be correct. Saul was defenseless. On each occasion, David was allowed to have everything that was necessary to not only take his life, but to escape without being caught. So David was not even putting himself in any harm's way. It would be easy, I think, to justify the action. If it looks good, it must be right. You know, that temptation has ruined many lives. Be careful of that. Just because something looks all right doesn't mean it is all right. Just because something looks good in this world doesn't mean it is good. Just because it looks okay to do doesn't mean it is okay. We must go to God's word. You know, we also need to remember that appearances are deceiving. You know, sometimes something may look good, but you know what? We may just see one side of the story. You know, we try to take care of our church building out front. That's where people walk in. You go around to the back side of the building, it's a different story. Now, most buildings are like that. They have a section where it's nice and everyone takes care of it. But appearance, depending on how you're looking at things. And, you know, there can be times where you look at something differently on one day than you do on another day. Based upon maybe something that's happened that day at work. You know, you come home after a long day at work and you just see everything in negative maybe. Or you have something happen at work, you get a promotion, so everything's nice and wonderful, and you come home excited, and, oh yeah, let's do that, you know, and next thing you know, maybe I should have thought that through. You see, appearances can be deceiving. Along those lines, the devil is the master of deception. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So not only can we be deceived by appearances, but we have a foe, the devil, who is the master of disguises. We need to beware of making decisions based upon appearance alone. That's what Eve did, I think. Everything appeared to be good in the Garden of Eden. The devil threw a great sales pitch there, and she thought everything looked good, and she went ahead and sinned. Well, the devil has duped many since then, basically on the same thing. It appears good. It appears to be all right. So this morning, let's make decisions based upon what God's word says is correct, the truth. And not what appears to be right. Now, there may be times where something appears to be right, and guess what? It is right. It is correct. You look at God's word, and there's nothing wrong. Then go. Then there are going to be times you look, and it appears to be right in the world, and then you read the word of God, and God's word forbids it. And that's when you say, I better stop. Better slow down and be responsible to God. So the burden of responsibility is this, here and this, is doing what is right, even if it appears to be correct. We have to do what's right. The third one, how about an advantage? Now, David, sitting here over King Saul. This was the man who mercilessly chased him from the palace, made it very clear his intentions were to kill David. He wasn't there just to capture David and bring him back. He was to slay David. That was the plan. David had already ran all over the countryside, had lived in mountains, had lived in caves, and Saul, there was no indication Saul was going to give up or Saul was going to stop. David would have an advantage here if he took Saul's life. He had much to gain. Think about that. Much to gain. If he slew Saul, David would be rid of his problem. That's the first thing. His foe would be eliminated. Now, for some, that would be the deciding factor already. Personal gain? Well, I'll do it. That's what David had to decide here. Personal gain. His enemy would be gone. How about glorification? David would be glorified. He would have an advantage. I imagine all of his men would say, "You're a great warrior. You're a great conqueror." Maybe the rest of the nation would have joined in. And maybe David would have been exalted to the throne right then and there, is the thought. But we need to be careful of making decisions based upon personal gain. You see, David might have had an advantage, or he could have justified slaying Saul because it would have been a personal advantage. What we need to do is consider God's glory. What does 1 Corinthians 10:31 tell us? "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Here's some questions that you can ask yourself when you have to make a decision. Will this exalt God? Will this exalt God? How about a second one? Will this bring glory to God's name? Will this honor God and His ways? Or you can go the opposite side on all those questions. Will this dishonor God? Will this bring shame upon His name? And so forth. You see, those are some questions we can ask ourselves when we have to make a decision. And if it does not glorify God, if it brings shame upon His name or something that God would refuse, then let's not do it. Let's refrain from it. You know, the burden of responsibility is this: doing what is correct, even if it means personal loss or failure. That's the burden. Having to make a decision, even if it means losing something, because we know it's right with God, and so we're going to make that decision. Here's the fourth one: approval. Approval. Go back to 1 Samuel 24, and I want you to notice what some of these men said here. 1 Samuel 24, and it says there in verse 4, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy in thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." Notice, David's here in the cave, and the men, all these men, "David, this is the day that God has promised you." Now, you talk about peer pressure. You know, we think peer pressure is just for children in school. Peer pressure is everywhere. You can be an adult. You can be in your career. Everyone else say, "You need to go do it," encourage you. It's hard to say no sometimes. Here we have men standing around David. Now, this advice, I believe, came from some good men. These men were good men. There was nothing wrong with these men as far as, yes, they were sinners, and their salvation was from God. It wasn't their self. But these men, who were good men, believed it was the Lord's will. So they encouraged David. These men were trustworthy. These men were courageous men. These men were faithful men. That's what probably made this decision harder for David. He's got a bunch of faithful, trustworthy men saying, "Hey, this is God's will. God has blessed you." Many of these men would remain with David throughout his reign as king. These men would, basically, God would use these men along with David, Joab, Abishai, to not only, I guess you say, bless the nation, but to expand the nation to great limits. And so here we have David with these good men around him, giving him this advice, this encouragement, and I think it was probably a great temptation for David, a great burden to carry. You know, we need to remember that advice from men and women is just that. It's advice from men and women. You know, even the best can make mistakes. Even the best can make a miscalculation. You know, when we give advice, first when you give advice, make sure that you encourage people to seek God's will. You know, as a pastor, I try, if someone asks me for advice, I might give them some, but I try to encourage them to seek the will of God. Make sure that my advice or encouragement lines up with God's word. If not, then chuck my advice and go with the Bible. Go with God's word. And so when we give advice, we should consider that. But also when we receive advice, we need to remember that it's coming from men and women. And they may have the best intentions. They may not be planning to hurt or to hinder, but nobody's perfect. And it goes back to the fact that nobody knows the will of God. So when we receive advice, it may be good advice. It may align with God's word. And you may say, "Oh, I'm going forward. God is going to bless." Or you may look and say, "Well, the Bible says this." If you ever find the Bible says this, and you go with God's word. And that's what we find here. David would be accountable for his decision. You know, this morning, you're going to be accountable for your decisions. A lot of people don't like to think about accountability, but that's part of being responsible. Understanding that you'll give an account for your conduct and your actions. You see, David would answer for this decision, not those men, not Abishai, but David would stand before God and give an account for why he took the life of Saul. You know, this morning, the decisions you make, you'll give an account. And you'll stand before God, and you'll give an account for the decision. You know, I think that David probably would have been accepted by everybody. I think if David would have slain Saul that day, everyone probably would have said, you know, Saul deserved it. Saul had it coming. David, you're right. David, God bless you. You know, many probably would have concluded that David was correct. And many would have accepted him and accepted the decision. You know, I think the most difficult decisions in life are those that go against popular opinion. Whether it's a big decision at work, or maybe a decision around, you know, living for God in a world of sin, or a decision, even a personal decision. I'll give an illustration of this. Adoniram Judson, the missionary to Burma, when he graduated college, God had placed it upon his heart to go to Burma. And he believed that's where God was leading and guiding and directing. Well, he went and he filled in and helped preach at a church, a large church in Boston. Went back home a week later. Pastor got a hold of him. Said, hey, we got a position, an assistant pastor. We'd like you to come. Everything will be taken care of. Got a house, parsonage. Lord would bless you here. Well, his family rejoiced. They were excited. His mom and his sister rejoiced because, guess what? He would stay home and he'd be able to do the work that God had called him to do. But he had a problem with that. And he sat down with his family. He told them this. He said, God is calling me beyond the seas. He says, to stay here, even to serve God here, I feel would only be partial obedience. And I could never be happy doing that. And so he went to Burma. Turned down the position, went to Burma. And I tell you what, God blessed him greatly. You ever get a chance to read his biography? There are people today, churches today, that still feel the effect of his mission work in that area. God blessed him. But you know what? He had to make a decision. Going against what people, others thought he should do, but it was what God wanted him to do. You know, sometimes we have to do that. That's the burden of responsibility. Doing what is correct, no matter what others believe. Taking a stand for what is right. Going where God leads and directs you as an individual or as a family, following after the Lord. Here's the fifth temptation, and that's assistance. Turn to me, 1 Samuel 26. I think, now this is my personal opinion, this would be the most difficult. At least for me, 1 Samuel 26. And notice here what happens. This is Abishai. Notice in verse 8, he said, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy in thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him. Notice what happens here. We have someone, Abishai, and Abishai was a good man. Abishai, I believe, once again mistook the will of God, the opportunity for the will of God. But he looks at David, and maybe he knew David wasn't going to do it. Because the first time David had refused to do it. And so Abishai looks and says, hey, I'll take care of it. And from all indications, it appears he's basically saying, guess what, we can slay him. It'd be for sure, and nobody's even going to catch us. We'll be out of here. Everyone's still asleep. Nobody even know what happened. It'll be over in a moment. Now that temptation to me would have been a great temptation. Think of this. All David would have had to have done would just to be step aside. That's it. I mean, just step back. That's it. Just move back. He could look away. He could cross his arms, whatever it is. Abishai would have taken care of everything. David could have even later justified it. David could have looked and said, well, it was Abishai who did it. Maybe someone would have got upset and said, well, why did the king die? He said, well, Abishai did it. Maybe that's why Abishai did it. Maybe he was willing to take the blame for anything that would come later on. You see, David could have used Abishai's conduct to get his own personal way. And that happens sometimes. We can, it's like a loophole almost, so to speak. We can find ways to get what we want where we don't do it. And we say, well, it's all right, you know, I got it. You know, David, the Bible tells us he refused this. Here's what I think. What would God think? You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 21, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Yes, David could have stepped back. Yes, David would have, I guess, not even touched the spear. But he could have prevented Saul's death and he would have chose not to. You see, he'd have been guilty before God as well because his heart would have been guilty. He may not have actually carried out the action, but his heart would have been wrong before the Lord. James 4, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You see, that takes it to another level. Even if we know something, if we know we should be doing this and we don't do it, that's sin. You see, it goes to our motives. And once again, God knows those. So the burden of responsibility is this: doing what is correct, no matter what others deem, is necessary. Abishai was going to do it for him. Give him some assistance. Now I'm going to give you the response of David. We've got three thoughts, just real quick. Here's David's response. If you go back to 1 Samuel 24, notice in 1 Samuel 24 what David said first to the men here in verse 6. And this is his first response to an opportunity to take Saul's life. 1 Samuel 24 and verse 6 says, "And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master." Notice this. And I'm going to give you three thoughts in his response. The first one is regard. David's regard for God. That's what it begins with. David could have easily taken Saul's life. The second time, he could have allowed Abishai to take Saul's life. But David chose not to because he believed the Lord forbade it, that the Lord didn't want this done. And that's where we find David's regard for God. You see, he didn't simply do what he thought was best or what he thought was good for him or what others encouraged him to do. He did what he believed God wanted him to do. You see, he regarded God in his decision. He thought about God. He considered God. Now, had God wanted David to slay Saul, I really believe David probably would have shown the same courage that he showed when he went after Goliath. David was a very courageous man. David was a conqueror. He was a very tough, I guess, individual. I don't think he'd had a problem doing it. But I believe that he thought it was against God's will. And because it was against what God wanted, then David wasn't going to do it. You know, this morning, we can learn from that. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. You know, there are a lot of things in this world that we can do. You know, you can drive awfully fast. Doesn't mean you should drive awfully fast. You know, when you leave and go home, there might be situations where you need to hurry up and get somewhere. But you know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. We find here that David and his men could have killed Saul, but doesn't mean they should have. David believed that God would determine the decision. You know, no matter what others said or thought, to God it was wrong to take Saul's life. So David wasn't going to do it. He just wouldn't do it. And we find that the decision was based upon God's will and not his personal desires. You know, this morning, I think that's the best way. That's probably the best lesson we can get here this morning. If our decisions are based upon God's will, we're probably going to avoid a lot of troubles, a lot of heartaches, a lot of problems down the road simply because we're walking with God. Now, we have a lot of decisions to make that, of course, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us what time to get up in the morning, what to wear to work. But those are decisions. You know, when we're walking with God and those decisions that we have to make, if we know the teachings of God, then we'll refrain from committing sin or getting involved in the sin because we'll know God's will. And that's what happened with David. I think he knew that it was wrong for him to do this to God's man. It would be going against God. And so David chose to follow God's will instead of his desires. And really, I think the burden of responsibility was made a little bit lighter on that day for him, because he was doing God's will, not his own. Here's the second one. How about respect? We find in both cases that he referred to Saul as the Lord's anointed. Verse 6 of 24, 1 Samuel 24, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master." And then he said, "The Lord's anointed to stretch forth my hand against him." You know, David had respect for the things of God. So he had regard for God as God, and then he had respect for the decrees and the decisions that God had put in place. Yes, King Saul was ornery. Yes, King Saul was mean and cruel and probably used every other adjective to think of to describe him. But God had placed him here. And the king, you go to the Old Testament, the king was the Lord's anointed. He was set aside for this work as king of the nation. And so the Lord had placed Saul into this office, and the Lord would remove Saul when he was ready to remove him. That was the Lord's decision. That was the Lord's work. You see, I think had Saul not been king, his life would have ended on that day. I really do. I think had Saul just been an ordinary man that had confronted David and opposed him, his life probably would have ended on that day. But he was the Lord's anointed. David pointed that out two times to his men. And so David would spare his life because of his respect for God's position that God established, the office there that God had put him in. And so David would not go against God. You know, I think what we find here is David's respect for God was so great that his decision was pretty much made by that respect. And here's some thoughts for us this morning. I think we find a lot of disrespect for God today. And sadly, some of it is found in churches. But when we don't have respect for God, when you have no respect for something, you're not going to consider it in making your decisions. You know, today there are some that have no respect for the church. Today there are some that have no respect for God's Word. Or little respect. They don't read it. They don't see it as being God's Word. Some have no or little respect for the ordinances of the church, what we find in the church, the doctrines of the church, the leaders of the church. There's just no respect there. And so when there's no respect, then guess what? There's just the decisions will be made without any regard to God, any respect for what God has put in place. Now, David understood, I think here in this case, that any attack against God's anointed was an attack against God. That's what it just came down to. If he attacked what God put in place, then he was actually opposing God and the ways of God. Now, I have to throw this disclaimer in, because I've heard it several times. Pastors are not kings, okay? It's a whole different office. But the king was an anointed position that God had put in place to lead the nation of Israel. And I think David recognized that this was God's man and that he shouldn't touch God's man. This was God's leader. And so an attack on him would basically be a war against God's nation, against God's king, and aligning himself against God. Now that would bring a lot of trouble for David. He thought he was in trouble now. He put himself against God, that'd even be bigger problems. And so we find that David concluded Saul would die in the Lord's time. Now he gives a list there. He didn't know. He thought maybe Saul would die in a sudden way or a natural way, or maybe he would die in battle. And that's actually what happened. He would die in battle later. When God was ready to remove him, God did. Now because of his respect for God's ways, David was able to act responsibly. You know, this morning, if we respect the Word of God, and we respect the ways of God, what God has put in place in this world, then guess what? We'll be able to live responsibly before the Lord. Here's the third one, and this is where we're going to end it here, restraint. Because this is basically where David restrained himself. He had regard for God, he had respect for the things of God, the position, and because of that, he was able to restrain. He was able to refuse the temptation. So David was mindful of his conduct. Now think about this for a minute. Saul had lived in sin, and Saul had been a terror to David. But David acted completely opposite. You know, this morning, don't allow someone else's conduct to determine yours. Make sure you live according to God's Word, not according to what everyone else is doing. Or not according to the way they're treating you. Don't just treat them that way because, oh, that's the way they're treating me. I'm going to give it right back to them. That becomes selfish. That becomes acting in the flesh. And that can be provide a lot of problems in the future. What David did is he acted the way God wanted him to act. He controlled himself, followed the direction of the Lord. He understood that he was accountable to God, and so he placed his trust in the Lord. Also, David chose to wait for God to work. That's responsibility. Living like a believer, living like a king, that's what he was doing. He wasn't going to go live like the world and give it back to him. He was going to do what God wanted him to do. So David refrained from sin. David refrained from slaying Saul. And instead, I tell you what, he was able to carry that burden of responsibility. In closing this morning, David was greatly tempted. Preparing this message, to be honest, I don't know if, you know, from the flesh, looking at it from the flesh, that would have been a great temptation, two times to overcome. When you put yourself in his shoes, that would have been difficult to do. Yet he was able to overcome both times. And he was victorious. You know, we talk about having a victorious Christian life. Here it is. He was victorious because he looked to God instead of self. You know, if you want to have a life that's above sin, you want to have a life that overcomes temptation, that is above discouragement, then look to God instead of self. You begin to look to self, then guess what? The problems will come in. Excuse me. The troubles will mount up. When you begin to look to God, then you'll be able to overcome those troubles, overcome those difficulties. You see, he conquered those temptations because he chose to live for God. He chose to live for the Lord and glorify him. You know, when God is considered, we can live correctly. And it goes all the way back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Think about this. Salvation comes from God. You know, many people today remain without Christ simply because they have no regard for God. That's it. They don't regard God. They have no respect for God. They have no interest to God. A lot of pride, a lot of arrogance, Selfishness and everything else is sitting there. There's no regard for God. You know, to be saved, each must consider their life before God. So it begins with our life, who we are, what we've done. And when we recognize our sin and our future without God, then we look to God, or we have an understanding of a need of a Savior. So, after that comes salvation. You see, it begins with a regard for God, a respect for God. Understanding that He's there and that He exists. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Think about that. It was God acting on His behalf to send His Son. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. So spiritual life begins with faith in Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. And this morning I hope and pray everyone here is saved. You know, the only reason I believe David was able to overcome and live for God is because he belonged to God. If we don't belong to God, then we're not going to have His strength or His power to live for Him. So David had his faith in God, and David was able to live for God. So believers here this morning, for believers, when we regard God and we respect Him, then it's possible to refrain or restrain from sin. And that's what it comes down to. Living a responsible life before God. You know, I'll be the first to tell you, it's difficult. You know, it's easy to preach and teach sometimes and tell, you know, live right and do this. But when the temptations come in, that's when it's difficult. But if we regard God in all our decisions, if we respect His ways enough to consider His ways and to turn to Him and seek Him, then we will make correct decisions. We will live a life and be able to carry that burden of responsibility. I think we'll be able to, like David, not only say we're a believer, but have a life that says we're a believer. And I think that's the goal, as believers, to have a life that people look and say, they're a believer. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings that You've given. And as we have this invitation, Lord, I thank You for the testimony we see of David and for the strength that he found in You as he looked towards You, Lord, each time that he was tempted. And I pray this morning that as we have this invitation, Lord, if You've worked in anyone's heart here today, that they'll seek You out in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. And if God's worked in your heart here this morning in any way, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer. Maybe there's someone here that's just been tempted or tested. Maybe there's been trials in your life, some things that are going on that it's just one after another. Here this morning, I encourage you to seek the Lord. Look to Him. Don't make decisions based upon what looks like an easy way out or what you think could be right. Regard the Lord. Seek Him in prayer. Study the Word. And make a decision based upon His will, according to what you find in God's Word. And then you'll know it's a decision based upon what God would want. So if you're here this morning and you're being tested and tempted, I encourage you to seek the Lord in prayer. Seek His strength like David did and regard Him. Maybe there's one here that has questions concerning salvation. Unsure of salvation. If that's the case, I encourage you to come down this morning. As the piano begins to play, I encourage you to come down and we can show you from God's Word what salvation is and how you can know that you're saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you just want to thank God for giving you the strength to make the correct decisions that you've been making in life. You know, all it takes is for one bad decision. One misdecision can ruin a testimony, can ruin a career. You know, had David made a bad decision in either one of these cases, it may have ruined the work that God had planned for him. So I encourage you this morning, maybe you just want to give thanks to God for allowing you to walk with Him,